So growing up in the Bagdell house with our kiddos, they love chocolate milk. And we created this habit early on that they would just go to bed with, you know, chocolate milk. And I'm not saying it was a great habit, but it happened. And one night, Brady, our oldest, was getting ready for bed and got tucked in. And somehow we forgot it. And we were sitting in the living room, Kelly and I just enjoying some time. It was kind of quiet. All our kids were nestled in bed. And all of a sudden, our oldest goes, "Mom!" And she's like, "What, Brady?" She's like, "He's like, I want some chocolate milk." And she's like, "No, it's too late for chocolate milk. We're not doing that to bed. But I'm thirsty. Not tonight." A handful of moments go by, and again, he goes, "Mom!" She looks at me, and she's like, "Hey, Brandon, like, you got to do something." I'm like, "Just go fix the kids some chocolate milk." She yells back. She's like, "No chocolate milk tonight. Like, roll over and go to bed, baby." A handful of moments go by. "Mom!" She looks at me. I look at her, and all of a sudden she goes, "Brady, if you don't go to bed, I'm going to come in there and spank you. You're not getting any chocolate milk tonight." It seems to settle it. I'm like, "You rock, girl. Good job." 3 minutes go by. "Mom! Come in here and spank me and bring me some chocolate milk." The things that kiddos will do, right? Today, we are just going to spend a few moments and we just want to bless moms. And the way we're going to do it is we're just going to look at a classic text on motherhood. There's not a ton of text in the Bible about what dads should do. There's a lot of things sprinkled in, but there is a classic chapter on what it looks like to be a virtuous woman. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. It's Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 begins in verse 1 with kind of this strange idea kind of pictured in. It's a guy named King Lemuel. And it says, these are the words of King Lemuel. Who in the world is King Lemuel? The only time you see him mentioned in scripture, it says there is an oracle that his mother taught him. And then from there, you see these verses begin to unfold. And this oracle that his mother taught him were the instructions on what it looks like to be wise. Now, Lemuel is a name that means devoted to God. And some people believe that it might have been a prince from a nearby or neighboring country that was next to Israel. Others believe that Lemuel was just a nickname, in some ways, maybe from a mother down to his son. And some would say that is likely Solomon, and that Solomon's nickname was Lemuel. So maybe you're thinking about having children one day and you're like, "I just need a good nickname for my kids. Lemuel." That's it. Means devoted to God. So I happen to believe that it's probably Solomon, and this is his endearing nickname from his mother. It might be someone else. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that there is this incredible warning that's laid out by Lemuel's mother. And the warning is really goes like this. One, it's, hey, to be careful not to be excessive in the things you drink. Be careful not to be excessive in wine or drunkenness, for it'll impair your ability to lead. Isn't that true? Like, it impairs your ability to be the kind of king that you're supposed to be. The other warning was, hey, be careful that in your leadership that you are caring for the poor and the oppressed. In essence, like, be careful that you're watching out for those that are less than, or for the widow, or for the orphan. That in your leadership, great kings don't just care about nobility, but they care about those who are less than. And then there's this other warning that's kind of nestled in, and it's in verse 3, and it's to not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. In essence, in all of this leadership strategy, he says, make sure that the one that you yoke yourself to is a woman that is virtuous. Not a woman who is going to give herself to a haughty lifestyle. Not a woman who is going to try to lead you astray, but to a woman that's virtuous. And beginning in verse 10 and following, there's all of these clues as to what a virtuous woman looks like. And so here's what I'm going to do. In the next 25 minutes, I'm going to cover 21 verses and 10 things about a virtuous woman. So I hope that you have a pen and that you're ready to write, because we're going to jump in verse 10. And it simply says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." This type of woman, a virtuous woman, is hard to find. They're rare. Now, you might think, well, we got a ton of them in this room. And we do. But what's interesting is when you leave this room, there are many fish in the sea, but there are not many that are hard to find. The reality is there are not many that are commendable. There are not many that are worthy of respect. There are not many that are rare like jewels. And so when you find a woman that is commendable and rare and trustworthy, she is the type of woman that you want to hold on to. And many of us men in here, we celebrate women like you because you are commendable and you are hard to find. An excellent wife, who can find? Those that are more precious than jewels. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her." That's what a commendable woman does, allows her husband to gain her to gain trust. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. That is true for me, guys. Like, I am so blessed because of my bride. And what you see here is a woman who is a tireless servant. Like, you see a woman who is commendable, worthy of praise, worthy of respect, worthy of adoration. And the reason why is because over time, this type of woman, a virtuous woman, gains trust, not only at the city gates, but at home. And how is trust gained? Ladies, it happens because you're up early in the morning and you oftentimes go to bed late. I can see at our own house all the times that my bride Kelly is the first one up and the last one to get in bed. And it happens because early in the morning, she's not just caring for herself physically and spiritually, but she's also thinking of ways how she can bless her children, making sure that they have breakfast, or they make sure that they have their backpacks or the forms that are supposed to be filled out the night before, but somehow they get mentioned as we're leaving out the door. Then it's not just that, but it's an extra load of laundry, even as she's laying down to bed, and it's moving things around. It's a virtuous woman, a tireless servant. She serves her children, but she serves also her spouse really well. She's the type of woman, verse 13, that says that she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's the type that she's like a ship of merchants. She brings her food from afar. It's the type of woman who doesn't rest. And when you think about bringing your food from afar, well, in the Old Testament, it would have been going and gleaning wheat from the fields. It would have been going early in the morning and gathering water for your house. But here, it means like Costco trips and Kroger. And it's looking at the ads and going, hey, this is on sale this week, and we're going to go all the way here to get it. And oftentimes, it's an arduous task. There are times where I'm like, hey, Kelly, that's my wife's name. Hey, I'm just going to bless you this week. I'm going to go grocery shopping. And here's the deal. I go grocery shopping, and it's a challenge. Like, it's hard. And the reason that she doesn't send me that much is because I spend two times more than I should. But the reality is that it's a task, and that's one that a woman does. A virtuous woman goes to and fro making sure that her family has their needs met. Verse 15 shares what we've already said. She rises while it's yet night, and she provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. A virtuous woman is not just thinking of herself, but thinks about others, and not just those in her household, but even those who are not in her household. A virtuous woman is not just a selfless servant, but a virtuous woman is strong, healthy, and vibrant. A virtuous woman thinks about the whole person and about who you are as a whole person. And as a whole person, you're thinking about ways that you can bless others. Matter of fact, verse 16 says, "This type of woman considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard." Like, there's thoughts about how you would bless your family. And there's thoughts about how you gain trust with others. Verse 17 says, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And this isn't just physically, you're lifting dumbbells, you might do that. But it's the type of woman who doesn't slow down. It's the type of woman who is continually working and giving selflessly because of others. It's the type of woman that is a skilled homemaker. Now, we live in a day and age where you can be a skilled homemaker and still have a job in the marketplace. And I think oftentimes there's a tension that maybe I'm in the marketplace too much and I'm not a home enough, or maybe there's also tension sometimes that I'm at home and is this a virtuous task? Is this a job that's commendable? And I would just say, whether you're in the marketplace or whether you're at home, like, we're grateful that the Lord has you where you are. And I would just tell you that in either place, whether you're in the marketplace, there is still a role for you at home. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, and he actually encourages younger women to marry. He says, then you should have children. And then he says these words, and you should manage your household. And the idea of manage your household is a kind of a Greek term. It's called oikodespoteo. Oikodespoteo means that you are the house despot. A virtuous woman is a skilled homemaker. She's a house despot. Now, a house despot means that you manage the house, that you are in control of the house. Now, you might be here today and you're like, okay, but I thought men were in charge of the house. So here's what I want just to clarify. Men are in charge of spiritual shepherding of the household. Women are encouraged in the scriptures to manage the house well. For instance, women are the ones who say, hey, I'd like this wall painted this color. And guys just say, hey, you just tell me where to start, babe. It's women who say, hey, I would like to move this furniture here and this furniture here. And after our huffing and puffing and complaining, we just go, okay, dear, tell me where to get going. And so this weekend, I spent my weekend blessing my bride and just saying, you tell me where you want stuff to go and I'll make sure it happens. We recently moved, and so we've still had boxes and stuff all over the place. And this weekend, Mama just got to say, hey, I'd like just a clean house and I'd like everything organized. And so we spent our time listening to the house despot, the bride who said, hey, I'd like this here and this there. Hey, can you hang that? Nope, that doesn't look good. Can you move it right over here? And so we had levels and hammers and nails and screws and hanging hooks, and we just let her do her thing. And that's what mamas do. And it's not just hanging things on walls, but it's grocery lists. It's shopping list, it's managing kids and clothes and all those things. And listen, I know moms that it is oftentimes a thankless job. But I want you to understand that it's worth it and that your kiddos and your spouse recognize it. And if they don't, then our hope is today that they will. And that you would be celebrated because you are so valuable. And the reason why is because of what you do. Verse 18 says, this type of woman perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Of course it is. Her lamp does not go out at night. Do you see the idea here? Like, she's up early. The lamp is still going on late at night. Like, when everybody else rests, this type of virtuous woman still has things rolling through her head. And how many of you at night, like, you just got these things that just keep rolling through your head, these things that have to be done. And for us as guys, like, we're just like, we're out. Like, hey, baby, I'll see you in the morning. We're out. And things just continue. It's because you're the type of woman who is virtuous. You're the type of woman who, verse 19, puts her hand to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. Those are sewing terms, okay? This type of woman is industrious and entrepreneurial. It's the type of woman who goes, like, I'm thinking about ways to manage other resources. And it could be your family budget, and it could also be your side hustle. There are many of you women in here that you have side hustles, and it's because you're intelligent and you're smart and you're winsome and you're creative. I know people that are in our church that ladies like were making stuff for Etsy during COVID, and they made thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, just a little side hustle. Things that I could never dream of. And there are many of you that on the side, you have different little business ventures. And that's the type of woman that's described here. Industrious, entrepreneurial. At verse 16, if you were to hop up, she considers a field and buys it. She's the type of person who makes wise financial decisions. She cares about the resources that have been entrusted to her care. That's the type of woman that you see here. But she also opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for her household is all clothed in scarlet. So she cares not only about her family, but you just see somehow she manages time for extra people. Like this is the type of woman who sits on the board in the city, or she's the type of woman who is not only doing things at home, but she has time for PTO, or she has time for the education foundation. It's the type of woman who just, she somehow multiplies time in ways that you're like, I don't even understand how it happens. But this is the type of virtuous woman that's described here. It's a woman who is also caring for the needs of others. Like she's the type of woman who cooks extra meals and takes it to neighbors. It's when the death of someone that you know happens, this woman has somehow a time to make not only your family dinner, but the family of a couple of other people. This is the type of virtuous woman that's described here. And at the same time, she's able to clothe her family in scarlet. Now, the picture here is that in the Old Testament, you would have a woman who dresses her family not just in fine linen, but in scarlet, which is warm in the winter. And in Israel, it does snow every couple of years. But she's not afraid of wintry weather. And the reason why is because her family is provided for. It's the type of woman who is like the ant. And we consider the ant in Proverbs. Like, hey, the ant's not a sluggard, is it? The ant is diligently doing his thing so that when winter comes, they're prepared. That's the type of woman that's being described here. It's a woman who sees ahead. It's a woman who plans ahead. It's a woman who's thinking about the future. That's who she is. She doesn't just clothe her family in scarlet, but she makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Like this lady is studious. She's devoted. And she's devoted to not only her family, but also clearly to her husband. She's devoted to her husband. She's the type of woman that her husband knows that he outpunted his coverage. It's the type of woman that her husband knows how blessed he is. And I will just go on record right now and tell you that by far the greatest thing in our family is my bride. It is not even debatable. It's hands down, I give it to her. She is my partner. And I would tell you in ministry, there's a lot of long hours, just like in your business, just like in your job. And in those long hours and late nights when you're setting up for ministry and then long after people are gone, you're taking tablecloths home to wash them. You're putting tables back up where they go. You're vacuuming, you're sweeping, you're washing dishes, you're pouring out coffee pots, you're getting everything set up for the ministry behind you. And all those things, my bride is with me in every single one of those ventures. And it's not just because she serves here at Stone Point Kids. It's something that she has done for the last 22 years of our marriage and 24 and a half years since we've known each other. From the moment I met her and she knew that I was called to ministry, she was all in. That's the type of woman that she is. Verse 24 says, this type of woman makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. She's financially skilled. Back in the day, financially skilled meant that you clipped coupons, right? Y'all remember back in the day, like when you could go and you have coupons that are like three times the amount at Kroger, you know, two times the amount on these days. Now you're like, I don't even know if it's worth clipping a coupon, right? Back in the day, you could go and you could get like tubes of toothpaste for free because all your coupons multiplied. Well, listen, this type of woman finds ways to be creative financially, spends money wisely. She thinks through things. She budgets and she prepares. She makes meals somehow go further. She's the type of woman that There is strength and dignity in her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Verse 25. Now, when it says strength and dignity are in clothing, it's in many ways just a hyperbole. It's not like, hey, there's strength in her clothing. Hey, look how beautiful it is. There's strength in who she is, and she laughs at what's to come. Why? Because whether it's a hard winter or a spiritually dark season of the country you live in, this woman finds her strength from the Lord. This type of woman knows that even when hard times come, when the rains fall, when the winds blow, that her life is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, she is virtuous in all that she does. She laughs at the hard times to come. She knows that there is nothing too daunting for the Lord. Romans 8:31 says this, what then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The type of woman described here knows that her virtue, her strength, her dignity, and the strength of her clothing comes because she is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. She is clothed in God's power and God's strength. That's the idea there. Verse 26 says, this woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The type of woman described here is wise and virtuous. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She never speaks a negative word about people. This is the type of woman who does not get caught up in a Facebook chat gone wrong. This is the type of woman that when she sees things happening, she doesn't hop in because she knows that typing on that keyboard will actually bring futility. And it could be harmful. It's the type of woman that she guards her tongue with wisdom. She doesn't avoid confrontation. She doesn't avoid the conversations, but she realizes that there's wisdom in where to have them, and there's wisdom in what to say. That's really the definition of wisdom and tact. Wisdom is knowing what to say, and tact is knowing when and where to say it. And this type of woman, the virtuous woman, opens her mouth with wisdom. She is wise. She's virtuous. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. If you have seen this language time and time again, verse after verse after verse, she's up early, goes to bed late. She's not idle. The idea of this is that a woman like this is driven and determined. She's driven to not eat the bread of idleness. Just means that she's not lazy or slothful. She's not looking to be served, but to serve. That's a reminder of even our Savior in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. But the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the type of commendable woman that you and I should look for. The woman who completes not only her daily task, but somehow manages to help us complete our daily task. And there are so many of us men in here that if we didn't have our brides around us to complete some of our daily tasks, we would be lost. I won't point you out, but just know that you exist. And some of you don't need me to point you out because your wife was like, oh yeah, that's right. As a result, it says in verse 28, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. This type of woman is a great mother and a devoted wife. And here's what I would just tell you, is while we have so many of you virtuous women in this room, men, can I just share something with you real quickly? One of the greatest needs that the ladies we have in our life need is a kind word, a handwritten note, and just a reminder to not grow weary of doing good. Friends, it is so easy in life to become discouraged. We do, don't we? Like, isn't it so easy to believe the enemy's lies? Like, isn't it so easy just to kind of grow weary of doing what the Lord wants? And I would just tell you, today is a day on our calendar called Mother's Day. And it is a day that's difficult for many of us because we had longed to have a conversation with our mother and we can't. There is a difficult day for many of us because we've lost a child who no longer calls us mother physically. But I would tell you that we should make the most of it. But we should make the most of Mother's Day more than just day a year, because mothers are so valuable. They are commendable. They are excellent. They are worthy of praise. And friends, I would just tell you, today is a great day to celebrate them. And listen, task is a really good thing. Some of us have wives that, like, if we would just serve them by helping them mop or sweep or clean the dishes, that would be a blessing. For some of them, if we would just cook a meal today, that would bless them. But one of the greatest blessings that the ladies in this room need are a word of affirmation. They just need to know that you love them, that you're proud of them, that you care so much for them, and that you're thankful to do this thing called life with them. Guys, you have a chance to be a hero today, not a zero. Make your time count. Many women have done excellent, verse 29 says, but you surpass them all. This woman that's described here is the cream of the crop. I am married to the cream of the crop. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's interesting because this is a very quoted line, but I don't know if you've ever considered this thought. Have you ever thought in all of Scripture or all of eternity, all the years that God has existed, has there ever been one that stood before him and said, look at me and how beautiful I am externally? Do y'all know that the one who fell from heaven, interesting note, Lucifer, Satan, Diablos, the accuser, was the most beautiful angelic being there was. And it cost him. See, God does not allow us to be in his presence because of our outward adorning. And friends, we live in a culture where outwardly we spend so much time looking good. There are so many ladies in this room that one of the struggles that you have right now in your own inner being is that physically you may not be where you want to be. And you go, I want to be here and I'm not. And listen, I would just tell you, you are not going to be commended before God because of your external beauty. You're going to be commended before God because of your inner internal beauty. And I would just encourage you that regardless of where you are, that you would seek after the Lord and you would desire him to change you from the inside out, not the outside in. Amen. And friends, we would do well to learn that. And husbands, there's so many of us that in our flesh, if we're honest, we do care about the external beauty of women. But friends, I would want you to understand that the greatest thing to be cherished is a woman who is worthy of praise because of her inner beauty and her desire to be what the Lord created her to be. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What sets a woman apart is her walk with the Lord. What sets a woman apart from everything else in our society is that she is beautiful. Beautiful. And she's not beautiful merely because of external things. She's beautiful because she was created in the image of God. And when she walks in fellowship with him, it overflows. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says this, so then just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to be rooted and built up, strengthen the faith as you've been taught, overflowing with thankfulness. The most beautiful women in this room are continually giving what they've received from God. They give grace and they give patience and they give love and they give virtue because that's what they received. And they give out of the overflow of their hearts and what the Lord has impressed upon them. And it is this type of woman, verse 31 says, that you should give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This type of woman is the woman we celebrate today. And there's so many of you that you read that and you're like, man, I got a long way to go. Listen, I would just tell you that regardless of where you are today, it's not about where you've been. It's not about what you've done. It's actually not even about what's been done to you. It's about knowing there's a God in heaven who loves you. And he says today that you can start following him. You can give your life and your devotion to him. You can You can right your wrongs, and in many ways, you can seek forgiveness of not only those around you, but the forgiveness of God, and that you can walk in a relationship with Him, and you too can be the virtuous woman that God wants you to be. Friends, it's not too late for any of us in this room to be all that God desires you to be. And I pray that you would know that. We're going to close our service with prayer, and then we're going to ask you to do something, okay? So guys, here it is. In just a second, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to say amen. And when I say amen, here's what's going to happen. Guys, y'all ready? Look right here. You're going to exit the room, okay? And if you're a dad and you have kiddos in Stone Point Kids, this is your opportunity to go and get your kiddos. Now, for some of you, this is going to be the very first time you've ever gone down that hallway. Okay? And so let me just explain a couple things to you real quick so you're not like out of your element, okay? So number one, your kids have a name tag, and on that name tag, there is a code, and that code specifically goes with your kid, and you're going to have that code to get your kid. So your kid's code is X1Z3, and if you don't have that, you're like looking down like, is that the code? Is that no? If you don't have that, then they're probably going to hassle you a little bit. They're going to ask for your birth certificate, they're going to ask for your driver's license, your bank account, all those things, okay? But if you have that code, you're good. What you're going to do is you're going to go through the double doors, and then as soon as you exit the double doors, there's going to be a huge TV screen that says Stone Point Kids this way. You're going to go through there, and it's going to start with our youngers, and it's going to work up to the olders. And when you don't know where to go, you just look at one of your buddies, and you go, hey, dude, I have no idea what to do. And then they're going to pat you on the back and go, I don't either. Then find one of our fantastic trained people, and they're background certified. They're caring for your kid as well. And just say, hey, I'm looking for third graders. Can you help me? They would love to point you in the right way. When you find your kiddos, you're not done, okay? When you get your kiddos, you got one of two tasks ahead of you. One of them is if you haven't taken a family pic, your wife wants one. And you need to prepare you and your kids in advance that mama's coming in a second and she'd like a photo with your family. If you've already done that because your wife is ahead of you, then you need to go get the car in the rain. And you need to pull it up close to the building. And you need to be ready. And you need to have all the kids. Like, you just got, hey, get it all together. Mama's coming. And y'all need to be ready. You know what I mean? That's how that works. Y'all got that? Guys? Now listen, there's some of us in this room that we need help, and that's what we're gonna do. Now there's a lot of you in here, you're like, I'm so thankful I don't have to do that, okay? You go out in the lobby and you pray for all these young pups that gotta do it, okay? Ladies, as guys exit, we're gonna ask that you would come down here. And we just wanna share a couple of moments with you, and we wanna pray over you, and we wanna encourage you. We just want to remind you of how valuable you are in the sight of the Lord. And we're going to close our time that way. So I'm going to pray. When I say amen, guys, you're heading out. And ladies, you're coming forward. Okay, here we go. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see what a beautiful woman looks like. And for so many of us in this room, men, we count it a privilege to have a beautiful woman in our life. There's so many of us in this room that today we have the opportunity to encourage a strong, healthy, vibrant woman, a woman who's devoted to her children and her husband, a woman who is financially skilled, a woman who is wise and virtuous with her words, who's driven and determined, who does not eat the bread of idleness. We thank you for a great mother and devoted wives like this. And Lord, we are just reminded that the beauty that they receive is not external adorning, but internal love that's given by the grace of our God through your Son, Christ Jesus. Today, we ask that you would bless these ladies, you would encourage their hearts, and you remind us as fathers, as husbands, of how we can shepherd their tender hearts and we can care for them well. Lord, would you help us do that? We ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, Ron, start playing. Okay. Okay, ladies, so you're going to have to kind of come in a little bit because there's a ton of us. There's still a handful that are kind of inching in. We just kind of come as best we can.